Histories of ideas do well to remind us of two things that subsequent progress makes us forget. One is the role of scientific instruments, which originated in fairground attractions. Without them, the 17th century's forward leaps would not have been possible. The examples of both the microscope and telescope are especially pertinent. Magnification was known in antiquity. Seneca wrote in the first century CE of how tiny objects would be enlarged by looking at them through a glass globe filled with water. But inquiries then and before, and for centuries afterwards, had none of the fuller knowledge, the skill, or the technology to produce and improve lenses to a point where they could be applied in either practical or scientifically informative ways. By the 13th century CE, the principles of refraction of light, again first estimated by Claudio Ptolemy in the 2nd century CE, but not applied to lenses, and the way to grind lenses to produce corrective effects, were sufficiently well understood for spectacles to make their appearance. The English Franciscan friar Roger Bacon, who taught at the universities of Oxford and Paris in the second half of the 13th century, is often cited as the inventor of these useful devices. In the 16th century, a father and son team of spectacle manufacturers in the Netherlands, Hans and Zacharias Janssen, discovered the magnifying properties achieved by juxtaposing two lenses, and the true history of microscopes had begun. The story of instruments and their powerful effect on the progress of science is a rich tale in itself. It needs to be told alongside other enabling developments, such as the adoption of Arabic numerals, advances in mathematics, and the availability of mathematical tables, accounting systems, cheap paper, printing, and more accurate and more uniform systems of weights and measures. One wonders why the ancients didn't develop means of magnification for studying nature, and failed to apply Claudius Ptolemy's insights about refraction of light by water and glass. The answer becomes apparent. A discovery of these kinds makes a practical difference to understanding and application only when there is a confluence of other factors to make that happen. The second matter that histories of ideas do well to remind us of, and this is the theme of the present chapter, is the fact that science emerged from a period in which many inquirers were deeply involved in magic and occult practices and beliefs. Whether the occult sciences were the precursors of what we now think of as genuine science, or something quite separate from science, or a sometimes helpful and sometimes unhelpful admixture in the early development of science, in short, quite what the relationship is a matter of controversy. Some think it was, some not. But whichever view is right, the effort to extricate science from the entanglements of occultism, whether by some thinkers from other thinkers or within the selfsame thinker who was engaged in both, took a great deal of work by people whom we now remember for their achievements in this respect. By contrast, almost all of those who remain keen on the occult route to knowledge are now remembered, if they are remembered at all, only as dead ends in the story.